If you're a fan of immersive audio fiction, you won't want to miss out on these shows from Pakhal Media. The Madness of Chartrullian.
Will this world accept my vision of the future? Or is all of this a mistake?
The Nebulous Saga.
You killed my family.
They killed mine.
And for 10 years, I have been making the Alliance pay.
Tales for Howling at the Full Moon.
It is not my worth that brings me here. It is my calling.
Another day, another chosen one.
To learn more about our shows and find out how to support independent creators, visit PakhalMedia.com.
Welcome to Tales for Howling at the Full Moon, a microfiction anthology podcast with stories ranging from the weird to the whimsical, and featuring many of Pakhal Media's good friends and collaborators. Each episode in this anthology is prompted by and released during a full moon. But for this one, we kind of broke our own rules, because we can, and made something a little special. Heart for Heart was written in the spirit of May's fun-loving flower moon, and we're bringing it to you now in the spirit of June's strawberry moon, which symbolizes the changing of your mindset along with the seasons. Heart for Heart is a different kind of hero's journey. It's about what happens when we approach challenges with pragmatism and show our foes empathy. Here's a heart for a heart.
It is quiet, unnaturally so. The shadows grow longer. We should hurry, lest the hour of the day grow too late. I would not want to make camp here. The villagers had warned me not to enter the forest. Spring is nigh, and their canopies should have towered overhead in majestic domes of green. Alas, winter still had a hold over the place. The forest is ancient, sacred even, and it was home to one of the oldest dragons to have ever walked this earth. Some say he's older than time itself, that he has transcended his true form and is now one with the wood. At the heart of the forest, I would find Yunam, the sword that would give me the power to kill dragons, and I would take his heart.
Here at last is the entrance.
Shh, 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 shh. This really is no place for horses. I promise I'll return. Now go, but stay out of the wood. Paths seem to stretch and yaw before my eyes. A cold gust of wind moved through the trees like a foul breath. It was wrong. Barren branches reached skyward like the arms of a skeleton. It was a warning. I knew there was no destination on the other side. Just one way in and out. The path ahead was lined with tattered flags. Yellow flags on one side and red on the other. At the mouth of the trail was a sign. No sound shall touch the ears of what rests here. No leaf beyond the path shall go disturbed. A sword for a sword, a heart for a heart, and what's borrowed one day returned, else all the world's gifts be burned or rescinded. Well then, that's no good. I must leave more of my armor behind. Reluctantly, I shed my breastplate and braces. The thought of fighting a dragon in naught but peasant clothes certainly brought me no comfort. But these things were loud, and I was told that the rules must be followed, or I would die. I hid my armor in the trunk of a tree and entered the wood. All sound instantly vanished, as if I had crossed into another realm. The birds, the wind, the sound of the creaking tree branches in the distance, all disappeared beneath a heartbeat audibly quickened with each and every step. And I felt eyes upon me from somewhere high up in the canopy. I feared the error had already somehow been made, that 3 steps in, I had failed, betrayed by the beating of my own heart. But quitting right then would just be pathetic. And so I remained still until the sensation of being watched passed, and then I continued. Each step brought me closer to the heart of the forest. The sun now hid behind a thin blanket of clouds, painting the world in shades of grey. The shadows around my feet and across the forest floor moved in pools, as if they were made of ink and had a will of their own. It was unnatural. I avoided them, keeping my pace slow and deliberate. Yellow flags on my left, red flags on my right. I continued like this for a long time, and eventually, I came to a juncture. The path was split. The yellow flags forked off to the left, and the red flags forked to the right. The path in either direction was more dilapidated, and it was difficult to see the bounds. It was a simple choice. A color, red or yellow. I did not want to linger longer than necessary, so without betraying my hesitation, I chose the yellow path. I rounded a hill and came to a small ravine. A narrow stream cut the way in two, with the path resuming several paces ahead on the other side. I would have to jump, which ran the risk of making a sound. I turned to double back, but noticed that one of those strange pools of shadow had gathered on the path behind me, almost as if it was standing sentinel. I somehow understood that retracting my footsteps wasn't going to be an option. I readied myself and leapt over the ravine. When I landed, a small twig cracked beneath my heel, and my gaze shot upwards towards the canopy. And then I saw it. The very branches of the tree were moving and morphing and tangling into a lattice-like shape of a giant bird. No, a dragon flying overhead. It was a quick wave-like motion. If I had blinked, I'd have missed it. Again, the prospect of failure welled up in my throat. I registered my urge to draw my sword, to draw any more attention to my presence than necessary, for once again, the trees had stopped moving, and all was quiet. Finally, I reached a clearing. The red path also ended here, and the area was encircled by both red and yellow flags. In the center was a stone structure, no larger than a mausoleum. Surely, this was the heart, which meant its protector was nearby. I knew I had to get the sword first, and when the dragon came, drive it into his heart. I approached the stone structure cautiously. It was badly dilapidated, little more than a ruin. Stone pillars that once held the roof above had fallen across the doorway. I could not enter, but I could see inside. Through the holes in the ceiling, shafts of light illuminated the interior, which was, to my dismay, empty. Where I expected there to be a sword, there was a single white carnation, bathing in a pool of sunlight. Just then, a large shadow passed through the clearing, and I could hear the bending and cracking of branches. The taste of bile welled up in my throat, and I realized I was trembling. My body was simultaneously cold and covered in sweat, and my heartbeat was like a galloping horse. The fear was instant and all-consuming. I turned to see the branches of the trees overhead bending and twisting together as before. This time, however, there also came the sound of clanging swords. It was as if a great battle was being waged right above me. But there were no soldiers. Only the great head of a dragon. Its head and neck made from the branches and trees, their trunks pierced with hundreds of swords and stained with blood. Its great wings and body made the forest canopy itself.
Speak the rules of this sacred land, little squirrel, so that I may hear them on your wretched tongue. Speak!
No sound shall...
Look me in the eye, or are your feet the last sight you wish to see before you die?
No sound shall disturb what sleeps here. No leaf beyond the path shall go disturbed. A heart for a heart, a sword for a sword, and what's borrowed returned. Else all the world's gifts be burned or rescinded.
How simple are the minds of men to make such rules. Even more pathetic is watching how blindly you follow them.
I wished only to respect.
Is it respect for me that leads you on a quest to take Yunum and plunge it into my heart? Your failure to deny it only confirms what I suspect to be true, which is that you are the same as all who came before you. Time and time again have men entered these woods on their quest for greatness, for the power to kill dragons. Do you think yourself more worthy than all the warriors who failed before you?
It is not my worth that brings me here. It is my calling.
Another day, another chosen one. Do you know how many swords of the so-called chosen are now one with my bark? Gaze upon them, little squirrel. These woods are forever mocked with their failure to do just one simple little thing. Tell me, what is it that makes you so different?
My continent faces a dark threat. A dragon with the power to breathe death. I have come here...
And it is you who will vanquish it? You, who is too afraid to look a dragon in the eye? And you expect a sword will change that?
No, you are right. I am not a knight or a warrior or anything like that. I do not aspire to greatness, but it calls, and I am just doing my best to listen.
You are fortunate that I have not killed you where you stand. Long has it been since I've been so entertained. All things considered, you have come this far without disturbing the peace or venturing from the path. You would be surprised how few can do just that. When given the choice between the red path and the yellow path, you took the yellow, and that, I must say, is less common.
Is one path more difficult than the other?
In my forest, no. The paths are the same. But beyond my domain, they are indeed very different. The red path is the path of the warrior, those who are touched by power and easily corrupted by greed. The yellow path is the path of the monk.
So it was a simple test of character.
There isn't one challenge here that is difficult, which is why so many fail.
I don't understand.
You came here to slay a dragon, and here before you is a dragon. Tell me, squirrel, why have you not yet drawn your sword?
Because there is no point. My sword isn't the one with the power to defeat you. I haven't found it yet, and here you are, which means I've already failed.
Is that so?
Are you saying I have not?
Tell me again the rules of this place.
Sword for a sword, a heart for a heart. Then we are to fight. You would so easily win.
I will make it easy, just this once.
The dragon reached his neck toward me, the branches of the trees bending and morphing in the most unnatural ways. How could one slay a dragon with no real body? He was only bark and branches. He stopped within mere inches of my face and turned to expose his neck. Up close, I could see that the branches had been hacked and hewn many times.
Go on. Give it some effort now, so the journey will feel less wasted.
I did my best to control my trembling hand and moved it to the hilt of my sword. I was almost embarrassed to brandish such a sword in his presence. Just a simple iron sword, the only one I could afford. Swallowing my pride, I pulled it from its sheath, faking confidence, and mustering whatever strength I could, I plunged it into his neck, just beneath his jaw. If he were an animal, it would have been a deadly blow. My sword merely joined what looked like hundreds of others, protruding from him like pins from a pincushion. He had taken my sword.
Very good, little squirrel. At least I have some comfort that you know where to plunge a blade should the opportunity arise.
You said a sword for a sword.
And so shall it be.
The dragon shook his head like a mighty dog, and with his motion, the canopy of the entire forest began to dance. Swords were ejected from the bark and rained down from the treetops. There were so many, in every direction, some covered in rust, others as sharp as if they had just left the blacksmith's wheel. Mine stayed firmly embedded beneath the dragon's jowl.
Among these that have fallen is the sword that you seek. So, I will grant you this. I will allow you to stray from the path for 100 bits of your puny squirrel heart. If you fail to find the sword and return to the path before the 100th heartbeat, you will die. If you succeed, I will show you the way to my heart and willingly give you my power.
But there are so many.
As I have said, no challenge you will face here is difficult. It is you who stands in your own way and makes it so.
First, tell me how the sword came to be here.
The sword was a gift to man from the realm of dragons, a symbol of unity, and the shared dominion of man and dragonkind. It was given to a king of old who called it Unum, but the king became corrupted by power and wished to control us. He had learnt that for every dragon heart the sword pierces, he gains power. What he didn't know was that some dragons could not be so easily vanquished. Those who hold dominion over the oceans, the mountains, the forests, the heavens, and the very core of this earth. One day, he made the mistake of coming here, to my forest. He tried and tried to find my heart. And in the end, he failed.
I think I understand.
Then commence your task. My patience is wearing thin.
100 heartbeats. I could still feel my heart racing and knew that I would have to calm my nerves. I closed my eyes and breathed deeply, trying hard to transform the flood of adrenaline into a gentle stream. The adrenaline would be useful to me in some ways, but not so long as there was a dragon counting heartbeats.
I run the risk of growing bored, Squirrel. I offered you my neck. The least you can do is entertain me.
Right. Feeling somewhat more collected, I scanned the clearing. The swords that had fallen here were all so plain. Others were far too decadent, their hilts covered in gold and jewels. There were swords in different shapes and styles, hailing from all kinds of faraway lands. They all seemed limited by the designs and the fancies of mankind. The sword I was looking for would be different. Finally, something caught my eye. A butterfly. It fluttered toward the base of a tree and perched on the hilt of a black sword with a rough-hewned blade. It didn't have the look of something made by a blacksmith. Is that it?
We will know once it's in your hands, won't we?
Are you saying you don't know?
It has been a long time. Maybe I have forgotten which one it is.
You're not giving me much confidence.
It is not my job to give you confidence. If it's confidence you lack, then your quest is naught but a fool's errand.
I needed to believe that it was Unum, to not be waited out by fear or indecision. I stepped between the flags, and my foot crunched loudly on freshly fallen leaves. It didn't matter anymore. I just needed to get the sword and back into the protected circle quickly, but without overexerting myself. I walked slowly and deliberately. The sword had pierced the root of the tree so cleanly and neatly that it might as well have been parchment. I placed my hand on the hilt and tugged, freeing it from the wood. The sword came away easily and weighed almost nothing. I carried the sword, which almost instantly felt like an extension of my arm, back into the clearing and held it up to the dragon's nose.
Well done. All within 70 beats of the heart. I underestimated you.
Now show me your heart.
My, oh my, how the squirrel has grown in such a short time. Let us see what it can do.
The dragon bared teeth made of wood and lunged at me with unexpected ferocity. I was a fool to have let my guard down so. Instinct moved my body. Fear had no time to react. I was spinning out of the way and bringing Unum down upon the dragon's neck. His head exploded into thousands of twigs and branches. But then, I noticed the head reforming higher up in the canopy.
Very good.
I am so sorry you took me by surprise.
Tell me, oh remorseful one, what is the next rule on your list?
A heart for a heart.
And what, in that simple mind of yours, does that mean?
A sacrifice.
And what is it that you offer in exchange for my heart?
I'm afraid it will not be enough, but it is all that I have.
I cannot ascribe how much value something or someone holds for you. But know this, your sacrifice must be equal in your heart as mine is to me. Until the essence of your sacrifice has touched the blade of Unum, all that you fight for will be undone. All that you build, unmade. This is the curse placed upon the sword, and it cannot be broken.
Show me your heart.
Very well.
The dragon moved towards the stone structure in the center of the clearing, the one I already knew to be empty, unless he took me for a fool. Vines dropped from the canopy and wrapped themselves around stone pillars that blocked the entrance. They came away effortlessly, granting me entry. He turned and looked at me solemnly, but all I could do was shake my head.
There's nothing in here.
Fortunate, some of us are, to have the things we love most so well hidden in plain sight.
I approached.
The flower?
Aye. This little flower is the thing I treasure most in this world. My domain is fading, yet somehow it lives. To take it would be to take the last truly living thing here.
Will you die?
Die? What is death to me? I am long dead. Now, I would be bound to Yunum. Only my heart would ache, for there are few things of beauty left to look at in this place. Now, what can you offer that would be equal to that?
I reached for my neck, from which hung a chain. At the end of the chain was the item that I came prepared to offer. I pulled the strings on the pouch to open it and dumped the contents into my palm. A plain ring made of dull silver.
This is all that remains of the life I thought I could live. Of the love I lost to time, while time stood still for me. You see, I am not entirely human. I am cursed. And, like you, I've watched this world change. People die, and beautiful things wither into dust. I allowed my loneliness to weaken me before being awoken to my purpose. I cannot hang on to the past. It is a meager ring with a meager blessing, but it is all that I have in this world.
It carries a blessing?
Yes. At least it used to. At one time, it had the power to heal, but I fear it lost its power long ago. Even after carrying it all this time, my pain endures.
Or perhaps it is that your pain cannot be healed with a simple blessing. I accept your sacrifice.
I set the ring down upon a stone and placed the tip of the sword in its center. With just a little more pressure, it would break. I closed my eyes and savored my last memories of him, of the family we'd made together. The memories were so old now, I couldn't even remember the names of our children. Ashamed of what I was, abandoned them, and set out in search of answers.
It's done.
Understand that from this moment forward, we enter into a contract. A contract that cannot be broken even in death. Take my heart with Yunum, and the power of the forest will be at your command. You will become the guardian of the heart of the forest, not its master. For as long as you do not abuse this power, you will have the protection of every forest, wherever your quest takes you. But once it is fulfilled, you must return the sword here.
If I return the sword, will something be returned to me?
Your reward is the fulfillment of your quest. If that is not reward enough for you, then why bother?
Then I accept. Next, I approached the flower and knelt down. Still holding Unum in my hand, I pinched the flower at the base. Without another moment's hesitation, I ran the blade through the stem. This white carnation, I could tell, was more than a flower. There was some enchantment upon it. I stood, holding it in my hand, and turned. The dragon's face was fading back into the canopy. His voice echoed throughout the forest.
Well done.
After a moment of stillness, the trees and branches began to sway, and the wind returned, as did the sound of the birds. The sun emerged from the blanket of clouds, much lower in the sky than before. I slid Unum into my empty sheath and carefully folded the carnation into my pocket. I felt that one more thing should be done. I dug a hole in the ground near the roots of the flower I had taken and buried the halves of my ring. I'd hoped that they would heal one another one day, and the forest could start anew, for his sake. My time on this earth was fleeting compared to his, but I understood his pain all too well. I stepped back out into the clearing and stopped. I was faced once again with the choice of two paths. All things in balance, I told myself, and took the red path out.
Heart for Heart features the vocal talents of Jessica Burson and Magnus Carlson. It was written and produced by H.M. Radcliffe and features an original score by Alexander Miller. You can learn more about our other shows and find ways to support independent creators like us at packhowlmedia.com. Also, I just got a preview of July's Buckmoon featuring the creators of Human Begone. You're going to want to subscribe so you don't miss it.